Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm Dean Wilson, and Dr. David Maines is here with me. He's the director of SermonCoach.com. SermonCoach.com exists to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we're talking about the subject of revival. And we've been talking about the subject of revival. Last visit, we talked about revival in a local church being marked by an overwhelming sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David, you gave us a way of picturing revival. Can you repeat what you said?
Well, I was saying that if you can figure out what it would be like if Jesus physically came to visit your church for an extended period of time, you would save yourself a lot of time in terms of all the old books on revival, figuring out what happens, because they are identical. If Jesus is there, you're going to have worship that will come alive. People will be very conscious of what they are singing to him, the attitude that they have as they are singing. They will listen to the choir as it sings a hymn of praise, and they will say, amen, amen. If I could sing, I would be up there with him, but do a good job. He's worthy of the good job, all the rehearsal, etc. But worship is a huge part of what goes on during times of revival. In fact, Dean, I'm going to digress just for a second. I thought for a long time, because there's a huge new wave of worship music that has come into the church, I thought that could have been precursor to revival. Because it's usually one of the early signs that God is doing something. As you trace it back through, whether it's this country or another country, worship is usually one of the early signs that something special is happening. And whatever happened, it came and it didn't produce what I thought it would produce. I was highly optimistic about that. The music is still there. It's a beautiful music. It's much more the music of the new generation than the older generation. But it hasn't as yet gotten past good worship music to the place where it is a part of the bigger picture in my mind, which is the introduction of Christ into the church, where people are very aware of his presence and there is this movement of revival that has come. Its potential is there, but it's not realized the potential that that could have meant. I think it was something God gave his church to be able to worship him in a new and meaningful way. Okay, worship is one of the early signs of revival. Another sign of revival is love. Jesus will insist on it. You always get in the stories of revival where there has been a backslidden church, say, these stories of people coming together and asking for forgiveness, hugging each other, families that have been warring, you know, sitting on different sides of the middle aisle. Now they are reconciled once again. Those are common stories of revival, and they're very characteristic of what takes place during times when Jesus is present in the church. You know, he is a reconciler in a very beautiful way. Holiness, this is one of the big bugaboos as far as the church today. Part of the reason I say that is because I don't think ministers like preaching about sin. I don't know where this started, where people said sin is not a good thing to preach about. But I don't know how you can preach about Jesus without preaching about loving others and loving God. And when you miss that mark that he established, well, that's called sin. Sin is to miss the mark. And people haven't loved God the way they should. They haven't loved their fellow men the way they should. And because of this, they have brought incredible pain into the world. We may not all be Hitlers, but all of us know what it means to ignore God, to take advantage of all God's good gifts and not give him credit for it and so on. All of us know what it means to like the people we like until we don't like them and then get some other friends and go through the same pattern. Sin is a big part of what's going on in the church. And where there is sin in the church, you don't have new life. It takes a toll over time. So holiness is a big thing. Evangelism is a massive, massive thing. And once again, there was a huge movement in some of the new churches, the mega churches. They put a very large emphasis on evangelism. And that was all a good thing. I was saying, praise the Lord, this is very healthy, because if you can't reproduce, you're about a generation away from death. And you know, there have been a lot of people who have come to the Lord, but evangelism and revival are not the same thing. Evangelism is a subpoint of revival. And now some of that is waning, and we aren't seeing the new people come to the Lord all the time in our churches the way we should. And I'm still reviewing. I had one more that I said. I know what it was. The preaching. The preaching, there needs to come to life this awareness that Jesus is listening. What I say is very important, not in the sense that my words are important, but I am giving you the words of the living God and his son, Jesus, and he's the one who knows what the world is about, and he's the one you need to listen to. And I don't know why he picked such a dorky person as his spokes individual as I am, but I'm telling you, this is not my word. This is the word of Jesus you're listening to. So if you're preaching the sermon, you know, I know it sounds like a huge stretch for you to invite as friends somebody who can't repay the visit, or somebody who is blind or lame or whatever, you know, can't hear. But that's what Jesus said. So why do we do it? Because Jesus said, and it makes the world a better place because of that. And so I'm going to follow the way Jesus said we should act. So anyway, those are five. Now we have, I would say, four more big ones that we need to talk about. So that's by way of review, okay? Anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think that's very clear. And obviously, every one of these has a profound effect, because it's as if the very presence of Christ was there, right there in the church, sitting in the front pew, listening to what's going on, a part of the congregation, and everybody, including the pastor, is responding as if Jesus were present. Mm-hmm. That's what a time of revival looks like.
Yes.
What are some of the other characteristics that mark a church that's experiencing revival?
Well, if Jesus were bodily present, and he is literally present, but he's present by his spirit, if he were there, people would want to talk to him. I mean, there would be lines of people. Now, another way to speak about talking to Jesus is praying. And I can just see people lined up. And what do you want to say to me? They get to the place where they're face-to-face. And some people are going to say, I got a request, Jesus. And I know you can meet this, and I know I'm not worthy of it. But would you please at least consider my request? Some people are going to say, I just want to say thank you. You have been incredibly good to me. And it doesn't matter that I had to wait here for 30 minutes before I got a chance to say, just thank you, thank you, thank you. Some people are going to want to praise him. Some people are going to want to confess and say, would you please forgive what happened this week? I can't imagine that I did it, but I did. But I want a new start. Could you give me a new start? So all of those areas of prayer, if Jesus is bodily there, people are going to line up. They want to talk to him. So you can't have revival. In fact, probably as key a characteristic as any you would name would be prayer. Now, the question is prayer a strength in the church in America today? Are people, you know, wanting to say, I got to say what I want to say to you, Jesus? The truth is, that's a huge weakness in the church. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. Now, are there exceptions? Yes, there are exceptions. There's no question about that. But speaking generally, prayer is not the powerhouse that we need. You know, they said with Spurgeon, he would take people downstairs to the basement of the tabernacle where he preached and show them his powerhouse. Well, they were the people who came and they prayed all the time he was preaching and so on. Well, we don't have that. You know, that's we just don't. I don't do that myself. So I am guilty as much as anyone else. We don't have that sense of the Lord's presence and us being able to talk to him and him hearing and giving the difference to everything that is going on that his difference makes. That's not there. That's a huge weakness in the church once again. So prayer and revival, that's a characteristic. That is a very big one, okay? If you give me a chance and ask another question, I can think of some more, but my mind is a little blank. So what do you have next?